B-Pod Studios.
Whiskey, donuts, hot sauce, candy. Matt Schaefer has you covered with the Sports Hub Grub Podcast. 98.5thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Sell the team!
Anything I can sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
Yeah, that's rude.
What's your opinion?
No, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
What's Bird doing? No, he was. He started calling her about 30 seconds ago.
No, that's on me.
No, it's not. It's not on you. Sorry. No, when you were playing the audio, that's when he picked up the phone.
Oh.
Not when you brought the number in before the headlines. And you said, here's her number. Call her. No, he was watching videos.
Oh, man. Was it a good
video?
Sorry
to interrupt.
Oh, dude, he wears headphones so he can listen to videos in there.
Okay. And not the show.
No, of course it's not the show.
It's not like we pay him or anything.
Yeah, I gave him the number about 4 minutes.
Dude, I stare at the phone. It was not your fault. I saw you give him the number. What do you think? You gave him the number and he started calling? No, he had to finish the end of his video. You had to see how Captain Avenger figures everything out.
Captain Avenger?
whatever the hell.
Captain Marvel and the Avengers.
See. Oh, see. My bad.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. My bad.
Marvel saves the day, you see.
Yes, I've seen one of those movies. Charlotte Wilder. She joined us at the Super Bowl and led us in to one of the more fascinating human beings on the planet. She was able to score a trip to Jeff Fisher's ranch and get on a all-wheeler or a four-wheeler and just check out the vibe.
He immediately gave her a nickname. It was like, what's up, Char?
Yeah. Just said, hey, Char. Cool. Why don't you get back on the four? And let's take some jumps. She joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Now, Rich, you have uncovered an article that Ms. Wilder did a couple years ago, but now it's newsworthy.
Yeah, so with all this, like, Dolan stuff coming out, there's an article of Charlotte's from... Char, was it 2 years ago you went to this?
Yeah, I can't... First of all, hi, guys. I'm laughing here. You have a really good Jeff Fisher impression.
Well, I mean, just imagine me with like a kick-ass like Marlboro in my mouth and tight jeans.
Yeah, just...
Well, it would be chewing tobacco and a mustache, but sure.
Even better. Hey, these jeans are worn out, but don't think I'm tossing them. Off come the legs.
But yeah, I guess it's hard to believe, but yeah, 2 years ago, the night of the NBA draft, I saw that James Dolan was playing a concert at a wine bar in Manhattan, literally the night of the draft, which was happening 3 miles away at the Barclays Center.
Okay, so did you talk to him beforehand? Did he know you were coming, or was this just I've got to see what the hell happens at a James Dolan concert, especially at such an important moment, you know, for the Knicks?
Well, he's so involved.
Right. Well, so he didn't know I was coming. That morning, I didn't know I was going until I saw the thing that morning and, like, couldn't buy a ticket fast enough. It was $25 for VIP, so I splurged. I told my editors, I was like, I'm going to this. And they were like, okay, Charlotte, yep, my story checks out. When I got there, he was just sort of milling around. There were not many people there. And I went up to him and, you know, I had my phone out as a reporter. And I told him, I was like, I'm a reporter. Like, can I ask you a few questions? He was like, sure. And then he told me that he had no idea what was going on with his team and he was very uninvolved. And this was during the whole time when there were the rumors that they were going to trade Porzingis. Jackson had brought back questionable plays. I don't know. It was like everything was falling apart. And here is this guy who just was very happy to play a 3-hour long concert as opposed to monitor what his team was doing.
Hey, pay the pencil pushers and the geeks. Worry about that stuff.
So
I'm an artist.
So what? First of all, 3 hours. My God. What was the crowd reaction when you were there?
Yeah, so it was the longest night of my life. I think there were not many people there. It was probably about half full. And halfway through, two guys started heckling him. You know, they clearly found out about it in a similar way I had and started yelling, like, you suck, and sell the Knicks. And they got taken out very quickly.
Was it his instruction?
The security guy, like, the minute they started yelling, the security guys just beeline for him. Like, they had a plan in place. These guys were like, okay, the first heckler is, like, they couldn't wait for hecklers. They were so excited to be able to kick people out, I think. At one point, honestly, like, I was sitting literally next to the stage. Like, I could rest my arm on the stage, and I was having, like, a pretty significantly difficult time not just, like, laughing the entire time. At one point, he was singing a song about gypsies or something, and he comes out wearing a top hat and, like, a scarf and glass. He looked like Dr. Teeth from the Muppets, the Electric Mayhem. It was truly, like, the most... And honestly, part of me, I was like, what is it like to just, you know, lack the self-awareness to be able to do this? Like, I should have a band. This guy's having the time of his life.
But here's the thing is that he's clearly delusional. And by the way, the Tonight Show had him on, so give yourself a big pat on the back, Tonight Show. There's one thing to be delusional, but then he kind of counters that by kicking anyone who says anything negative about him out. So,
right.
So that's kind of a dichotomy. I can't really figure out what's going on there.
Well, I think the reason he clearly feels that he has talent, I think. I really do. And I think that he, you know, he takes this very seriously and he's not into people who don't take it seriously. His PR people got very, very angry at me.
They got angry at you after you wrote the article?
Yeah, well, so I was kind of tweeting about it during the thing. And by kind of, I mean I was. And a lot of it got a lot of traction, like especially the picture of him in the top hat. And his PR people were not thrilled. And then they weren't thrilled that I wrote the thing. And then I tried to cover a Knicks game a few months later, and they told me there was no room. So I don't know if I'm still not allowed at Knicks games.
I just found your tweet, and it's got a picture of him, and Dr. Teeth is the best description ever, but you put, Dolan has now done a, quote, persona change as some kind of carnival master to sing his song Ballyhoo. Top hat, scarf, and glasses. And this song's called Ballyhoo.
Yeah, plus he's got that cool voice, like, when he talks. Hey, man.
I don't mean to, like, totally bash the guy.
Because, why not?
Well, he's horrible. I was there as a reporter, so I was trying to maintain some semblance of, like, here's what's happening.
Yeah, and what was happening was just painful and embarrassing.
Right. So it was a really, it was like 2.5 or 3 hours just of these songs. By the end, I was like, oh my God, I think my brain is bleeding out of my ears.
So did anyone stay?
Oh, yeah. But I think a lot of them might have been his friends.
Okay.
Oh, his friends. So, but you said that there are people in the crowd who are, like, legitimately, like, criticizing his voice, like, saying he couldn't sing, right?
Yeah, I think those were the hecklers, though. Like, they just started yelling. You know, it was like, it reminded me, I think I put this in the article, but it reminded me of when, like, my friends and I would be in college and go to baseball games and, like, heckle the other team, but we couldn't say anything, like, we couldn't swear or say anything really vulgar, so you had to come up with really inventive ways to, like, heckle people.
Sure.
Yeah. And that was sort of, they were like, you can't sing. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, you know, that's probably the meanest thing you could say to this man.
Because that's what he truly cares about.
Right.
Okay. Right. Now, did you get any insight into, like, what his muse is or...
Like, right, what were some of, like, the most, like, the wisest things he was saying between songs? Because I'm sure he was giving some sort of sage advice on what it's like to be a blues man with billions of dollars, right?
Yeah, he was, I mean, he talked a lot about, you know, I feel like for each song there was like some sort of inspiration or something. I mean, he has some really questionable songs. There was one about like not having any gas left in the tank, and he dedicated it to his parents. and I was just like, oh my God, I can't, like, you couldn't.
Please welcome.
I've been watching a lot of. What?
Go ahead.
Sorry, he pressed the button.
Well, I've been watching a lot of Veep recently, and this reminded me of, like, a scene from Veep, but it was real life.
Right, like, horribly uncomfortable. And also the band that he's playing with, as they're getting heckled and booed. But then again, why feel bad for them? He's probably paying them a ridiculous amount of money to stand up there and take the insults.
Yeah, they probably tore up on the plane.
I would hope so. And to be fair, you know, it was besides those two guys, it was a fairly friendly crowd. You know, I think a lot of his friends were there. It was at a wine bar.
Did he have pyro?
Yeah, seriously, it was just like sides of the state, like the whole place burnt down.
Yeah.
No, it was interesting that I was like, man, I could use a drink for this, but I am working, so here we are.
Well, Charlotte Wilder, you have experienced two great men in terms of covering them.
I'm looking what's getting your article, and you said he. Oh, okay. Hang on. It said right here. Yeah. It goes. Dolan's voice isn't terrible, but it's not terrible the same way the voice of your coworker, the one who can kind of string, isn't terrible after three beers at karaoke. And he said he hammed it up, talked between songs. And then he said he looked like he was having fun. He continued having fun as he introduced a song called Under That Hood about the shooting of Trayvon Martin.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, like, really, I forgot to mention that happened. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, you have got to be, like, in what world is this? The whole thing, I still have no words. Like, I still don't really know how to describe that happened.
You wrote, this song is about the tragedy that happened in Florida, Dolan said to the crowd, which has grown to fill about half the room. He stopped smiling as he addressed the matter, but started smiling again later when he held up some strange-looking tube instrument. And I get to play this thing.
Yeah, it's like NWA was just reporting the news from the streets. That's what James Dolan is doing.
I actually remember that moment so specifically because I had never seen anything so insane in my entire life.
Well, I have to see this guy perform. It's something that needs to be
done. Well, listen, I tried to find where his next shows are because I was like, I got to go again because I'm a masochist. And but I couldn't. There were only 2018 tour dates, so maybe he stopped posting them.
Yeah, he doesn't get time for those nerds on the computer. He's flyering himself. I will tell you this, though, the Manhattan Transfer and James Dolan would make a hell of a deal. All right, Charlotte Wilder from Sports Illustrated, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
See you, Charlotte.
Do you remember when MTV played the Manhattan Transfer?
For a minute.
Yeah. But I mean, was there, like, how did that happen?
Okay, the biggest trick, however, that at MTV ever did, just to see how powerful they were, is when they made Tony Bennett unplugged.
Oh, God.
And tried to play that. And, like, it actually sold really
99X
well.
Played it.
Steve did Steppin' Out with My Baby. You know what that was? That was a bet by two executives at MTV who were drinking one night and said, dude, we're the most powerful, we're the biggest tastemakers in music. Oh, yeah, prove it. I bet I can have Tony Bennett hit number one and sell records if I put him in rotation MTV. Yeah, whatever. And they put money down, and sure enough, it worked.
The song by Manhattan Transfer was "Hip Hop Never Stop Just for You, the pleasure, da da da. Come on, come in and check it out. Soul food is good."
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, there was a whole video. They're like an a cappella group.
Oh, I know that.
It's like torture.
I don't remember that song, though.
I just remember being fascinated as a kid going, there it should be playing at the library.
Right. It's like background music for, like, Sesame Street skits.
Or background music for people who shouldn't have driver's license because they're too old. What do you want to do? Let's see this a cappella group, the Manhattan Transfer. That's got to be a bet to get them on. Is this them?
That's JD.
This is JD the Straight Shot.
Oh.
Come on.
And then that jackass
Jimmy Fallon.
All right, Fallon, then say the network twisted your arm. You don't have to spaz out when it's done like something good happened.
JD and the straight shot.
Gary to rock.
Wash away my troubles. Wash away my pain.
Hoogie boogie lion.
Wash away my sorrow. Wash away my shame with the rain in Shambhala.
We have to pray. We'll be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. So Rich is giving me a little bit of a heads up to what's going on here. When Ted Johnson was ably filling in, he asked if he could have a doctor that he was going to go to the state house and propose that the government make it illegal to play tackle football until seventh grade, I believe. Maybe illegal through seventh grade, but I think seventh grade is when they said you could play. And it's this, I wish I had more information on it because I opened my Twitter and I can't find anything.
All I know is that while I was gone and Ted was in here, and first of all, what we know about Ted because he's extremely open about the injuries he sustained.
Yeah, this specific thing though, I knew you had been over the stuff. This was specifically, they were going to the state house that day.
Yeah.
So Ted asked as a favor to have this guy in, and this guy is a doctor. He played football at Harvard. He was a professional wrestler. And they were going to actually go to the state house and propose a bill to not allow kids to play tackle football until they were in seventh grade.
Yeah, Chris Nowitzki. So this is a situation where I was out of town. I didn't know what exactly you were talking about, but I kind of inferred by the tweets I was getting was that, you know, Ted had been talking about how, you know, he had concussions. And, you know, obviously, if your life is football and it's been football, you know a little bit about this, especially when you also realize that, as he said on the air, you've had over 200 concussions before. OK, so this is someone who has lived, seen the repercussions, knows what's going on, and obviously has a little bit of a vested interest in the health of other people getting into football because he doesn't want them to end up dealing with what he's had to deal with. So I started seeing these tweets coming in saying, yeah, sure, Ted. It's the pussification of America that you're advocating for. And I'm like, you're telling that to a guy who had 200 concussions? This guy knows what he's living it. You know, you want to sit there and you want to yell about, you know, oh, these people are being pansies. Why don't you try to step into his shoes for a moment and realize what the repercussions are like living that kind of lifestyle?
I think that the problem that people had was that they were asking the government take the decision away from the parents.
Okay.
And
all right.
So that was the reaction that I got via email. I just checked my Twitter, but no one tweets me good. Is that it's the pussification of America because they're asking the government and they're taking away that decision from the parents.
I just love when people. And by the way, there was one guy who was extremely angry who kept tweeting, and he was angry that this is a one-sided argument. And he was saying that it was a pussification of America, which I, once again, is amazing that you're saying that to Ted Johnson. that he's being a complete puss about the whole thing when he's the one sitting here living with the repercussions. And now there's
I'm under no obligation to have a counter to that.
No, no, there isn't.
This isn't a political show.
But this person is speaking. No, you don't, I know. Well, obviously we're not. But this person on Twitter was being so aggressive. And I don't know if this is the same guy, but I've gotten an email that is asking for equal time.
No.
He said, while you were out, Ted Johnson filled in. They had Chris Nowinski on. The information was entirely Ted and Nowinski's opinion on a proposed piece of legislation. I also don't think that it's all entirely opinion. I think that they, if they're spokesmen.
Chris Nowinski sat in here and gave the statistics. Yeah, they're studying CTE at BU, and he meticulously went over about the findings of all of those studies.
He's the co-founder and CEO of the Concussion Legacy Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to solving the sports concussion crisis through education, policy, and research.
Oh, he founded the BU CTE Center?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I would say it's a little more than opinion then.
I was just saying that. He has factual evidence to back it up.
Yeah, I mean, they feel that they, alert your state house representative.
He didn't just, watch football for a while and go, boy, this looks bad. He has in very informed opinion.
And by the way, they just suggested a bill. If you don't like the bill, go tell your state representative or whoever the hell it is that you don't like it. It's not up to me to have someone sit here. Ted asked if his friend could come on. I happen to agree with them. Just in terms of I wouldn't let my kid play tackle football until high school.
Well, now there's so much evidence that shows that a child's brain is still forming until that age.
And they say puberty, that before puberty, you don't have enough fluid in your brain, like in your skull, to protect yourself.
Yeah.
That was one of his points when he was here.
So the injuries are, they're tenfold, or I don't want to say tenfold, but I mean they're definitely a lot worse than if you have it in an adult.
And when your brain's developing, right, there's a chance of it doing much more damage.
Just when it comes to calling someone out for not knowing what they're talking about, I would not go to the guy who's the head of the CTE Center at BU or Ted Johnson, who knows what it's like to live with brain injury. I mean, the guy has, as he said, he's had over 200 concussions. So I just, to call anyone out like that, I just thought was ridiculous. And by the way, I'm not going to invite this person on, but if you want to call in, Ted Johnson's going to be here. I mean, he will be here over the
tomorrow.
Next few days.
Yeah.
He will be here tomorrow. It will be the day after. And I would love for you trying to tell Ted Johnson that he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to concussions.
I'm going to a sex rehab facility to try to get my libido back.
Are you really?
Yes.
Is it one of those where they give you testosterone?
I'm joking. I'm going to Turks and Caicos.
Well, because I've actually heard of these companies advertising.
Yeah, I already did texted 6969 nuts.
Well, it's nut to 6969 69.
Scott, this is a fun call. Scott, go ahead.
Hi, this is Scott. A good friend of mine, Rick, he refs your kids' basketball games, and he told you what a huge fan I am of you guys. And I guess Rich told me to call in and say hi, so I'm calling and saying hi. I am a.
Did you just fart?
Did you just fart?
No.
Like
I went off the highway, so I wouldn't kill myself.
Oh, okay.
The rumble strip. He went over the rumble strip on the side.
I think you're talking about Fred. I don't think that's because nobody talked to me about that.
Where's the kid play basketball?
In Natick.
Yeah, that's you.
No, that's me.
Oh, it's Wallet.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Wallet.
Yes.
Well, my friend is very confused then.
Yes, he is very confused.
My kids play basketball in Natick. Yeah,
with your big house there in Natick.
That's right.
So, yes.
Feeling so superior.
If you would like to challenge this, I suggest that you make a counter group or you
get organized.
Or just, you know what? Feel free to call in and yell at Ted Johnson tomorrow because that's going to be.
That'll be an interesting conversation. I'd like to hear that.
Tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about when it comes to concussions. Please, by all means.
Does not have any clue.
Well, no, but if you have a problem with the government regulating it, it's the way democracy works. They proposed a bill. I don't know what the state house is going to do with it. And if you don't like it, suggest that they vote against it.
That's like calling in and saying John Wallach has no idea what he's talking about when it comes to novelty songs.
Yeah, I mean, like him and Dr. Demento. Are both. All All right, Rich, we have the Stackarooski coming up. What are we going to talk about?
Oh, well, there is a movie that is being rebooted 2 years after the original came out. That's how bad it was. A movie so bad, they are rebooting it 2 years after its original. See if you can think about it. It came out.
Oh, all right.
It came out about, I guess, a year and a half ago. If it's coming out 2 years.
And they redid it already.
I have a guess.
They're rebooting it. So it has to be some sort of character or franchise that is so valuable that somebody blew it so bad that they're rebooting it 2 years later.
I have an idea. Okay. I have an idea. I know what my guess is. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what did we not get to today?
Now, you've heard of franchises getting reboots all the time. I mean, think about the whole Spider-Man situation over the last, like, 20 years. There's been three different ones, right? You had original, I mean, the Hulk got a reboot. They came out with that one that Ang Lee did and Eric Bana, and then they said, yeah, not good enough, and then they completely redid it. Now, you can't say that Mark Ruffalo was a reboot. He just was recast. Ed, that's not a reboot, though. Dan in my head says Ed Norton. Ed Norton should have remained the Hulk throughout the entire Avengers series, but apparently
he was impossible to work with.
He was so tough to work with and kept going to the director and the producers with script changes, and they're like, enough, dude, and they just put Mark Ruffalo in there. So that's not a reboot, but compared to the other one. Imagine having a movie do so poorly for such a like famous person or franchise that you have to reboot it 2 years later.
Ghostbusters.
That's kind of what they're doing with the new one, but that's not...
Oh.
Okay, so the Ghostbusters thing that they're doing is they're making it as if the world where the women were Ghostbusters just never existed. So I guess that is a reboot. So I guess that one kind of counts.
Okay, how about, I don't know the film, but the Tom Cruise thing with the Mummy?
Oh, the Mummy would be a good one, because when the Mummy first came out, do you remember they made this huge thing about they're going to have the new Universal Monsters universe?
Yes.
And it was going to be a Mummy movie. There was going to be the Invisible Man. Johnny Depp was going to be like the Frankenstein. And there was a whole... And that movie did so poorly. They said, hey, remember that whole like dark universe? It's done.
A Batman and Superman.
You are sniffing right around the right area.
All right. Well, that's about as much knowledge as I have.
Dan just nailed it. Suicide Squad.
Oh, God.
Did you sit through that pile of feces? Oh my God. Man. Jared Leto. There's never been a human being who tried harder to like be like spooky than this man did.
And like for real life, like he would like poo in a box and then ship it to someone and go like... Rawr!
Yeah, he did. Like apparently there were stories from on the set to get into character. He would take pig entrails and send them to the cast members.
God.
Oh, so creepy. And I would be like, dude, you did that to get like $40 million at the box office.
Yeah.
All for like a huge failure. And it was such a bad movie. It's so bad that even Will Smith didn't want to come back. So they're completely rebooting Suicide Squad.
Funny if he just like sent like entrails and then the guy came out of his trailer and just beat the living hell out of him.
Don't sound like the Joker now when I'm knocking your teeth out, do you?
Yeah, that, I didn't like what you sent me. Now I'm going to really severely harm you.
So Idris Elba has been recast as the Will Smith part of Deadshot. But here's the most confusing thing. It doesn't sound like they're recasting Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. So they're rebooting it, but they're keeping the same actress as the character that was in the one that sucked. Mm. So congratulations. So she's coming back as a key player in that. But one of the cool things about it is being done by a very good director, a controversial director, and that would be a guy by the name of James Gunn, who is the guy who did Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and was also fired by Disney for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 because somebody on the internet did what people love to do, go back and find old tweets that are offensive, and Disney said, we can't do that. Well, in a very shocking 180, Disney this week announced that James Gunn has been rehired for the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So he will indeed be back after, of course, all of the cast members came out and spoke up for the guy. And
No one can change or evolve, and no one's ever made a mistake. So I saw you tweeted something out about a movie you saw.
I forgot about this.
So I read the Wikipedia on
Don't. Here's the thing. There's a movie that I had heard about, and there's something I read, and they said the best way to go into this film is to go in completely cold, not knowing anything about it. I watched a movie from Sweden that was just released on demand this past week, I think, called Border. Now, if you just watch the trailer of Border, it looks like there's a very, very ugly woman who works at, like, a TSA in Sweden, and she has this weird sense that can tell when someone is guilty or up to some horrible crime. And she gets involved in the police trying to take down all of these different criminals because she has this strange sense. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who might want to see this movie, but it takes turns down roads that are so effed up and horribly disturbing. And where the F did this plot line come from that by the end of it, not only is your head spinning, but you might want to vomit.
Yeah, because if you read, I could see
the Wikipedia, because I read it too.
Because if you read it, it's like kind of funny.
Oh,
like
the Wikipedia entry is so utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just like kind of funny.
It's absolutely hysterical. So I almost kind of just want to pull it up and read it anyway, because it's so wild. But if anyone wants to see it, then, you know, maybe don't listen. Maybe I'll read it, because it's one of these things where you've never seen a movie like this before. And people are like, oh, well, I've seen disturbing movies. Have you seen a Serbian film? No, that movie was made just to try to shock you.
Right.
This is legitimately a really good movie, but it's massively effed up. Like, you've got to really like strange crap. Like, this is not a Marvel film. As Fred, you can attest to the 18 different plots, twists and turns that are in this film.
And the gentleman likes eating weird stuff. And
Well, just if, you know what, I'll give people a few days if they want to see the movie Border without me spoiling it. Or if you want to go read the Wikipedia entry, then by all means, go do it and be grossed out by it. Well, Le'Veon Bell, he threw a huge album release party after signing his contract with the Jets. Did you know Le'Veon Bell was a rapper?
I think I had heard that before.
Would you like to hear some of his smooth work?
Yeah, let me get my dancing shoes breaks on.
I get this bread and I'll tuck it away. I'm headed straight to the bank. She want a trip to the islands. I told her she gotta settle for Collins. I told her, give me brain like we in Collins. And what do you know? This is wonderful knowledge. I am that best and they wanna deny me. I can't let these haters define me.
This sounds no different than stuff that's selling.
Yeah, right no. To be blind
I can't even make fun of it because it's not good, but this is the kind of stuff that people are listening.
This mumble rap is just, I mean, anyone could do it.
Why is that big?
I don't know. If you get a chance, there's a comedian named John Daly who did a little Xan thing, and he's like, I'm your dad, and he's like, I'm your dad. He's like, what did my son do to his face? I'm your dad. I'm going to take my belt. Going to spank you. Going to spank you. All right, we'll break. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
By the way, Fred, did you hear the Beastie Boys, the surviving members, are going on tour?
Like where they're going to play music?
It's not a big tour, but Mike D and Ad Rock have announced that they are going to together do these shows. Now, they've literally not said anything about, like, so far that I've seen, about what this show is going to be. But whatever it is, it's going to be, the show's going to be directed by Spike Jonze, who's the guy, obviously, we know, who, you know, helped out with Jackass. He directed the Sabotage video. So it sounds like it has to do a lot with their book that just came out. Yeah. I think they're going to kind of be part telling stories, part live performance. But they've only announced 3 dates so far. There's going to be 1 on April 5th in Philadelphia and 2 in Brooklyn. So, but from what I've been reading, it sounds like this might be the precursor to doing some sort of tour, bringing this around the country.
It's probably like a multimedia thing.
But you would love that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I would see them regardless of what it was. Yeah. I mean, that book's long as hell, and I read it in like 2 days. I mean, that's. Oh, by the way, I got a book written by Van Halen's manager from 1978 through 1985.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be great.
It's called Running with the Devil.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like, it's those are the prime years to be there.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. By the way, The Dirt, the movie, comes out Friday.
They haven't really done a lot of push for it.
No, they have. It's a Netflix movie. So, it's like they've been pretty big about pushing that out there. The soundtrack comes out on Friday, too. They do a cover of Like a Virgin by Madonna, and it's not bad. Like, Motley Crue cover Like a Virgin.
They actually got the guys together?
Oh, yeah. There's like 4 new songs on the soundtrack.
Mick Mars just you sure it's not a wax statue?
I told you I saw them. I guess it's been about 6 or 7 years ago. But they did a residency in Vegas, and they played Dr. Feelgood from front to back, which isn't the album I would have chose, but still a pretty good album. And then they did, you know, some of the greatest hits afterwards. But Mick Mars in bad shape, dude. He was bad back then. I can't even imagine what he's like now. Nikki Sixx still got it. Tommy Lee still got it. Vince still winded.
So not every third word. How could you be that alcoholic for that long?
Man, I'm telling you, you read that book, you read the way that those guys lived, and it's a shock that they're still alive. It's a shock.
Well, like, because Nikki Sixx is, I guess, sober.
Yeah, he's like all into that. Like, he's kind of like a Duff McKagan type situation. Yeah, yeah. Now.
And then, and I know Tommy Lee's not sober, but he's like a freak. Like, he's all fit and everything. But, like, Vince is just like a bloated, like, alcoholic.
We took a picture with him when we did those couple shows with him on the road. And I showed it to a guy we used to work with, and he goes, "Who's the old lady?" Like, he honestly had no idea it was Vince Neil.
Plus, he's had all this plastic surgery done.
Yeah,
I'm just impressed he's alive. I'm also it weirds me out that he killed a guy drunk driving.
And got away with it.
And got away with it and continued to drink. You would think that would kind of scare you, like you killed your friend. I don't know. But I'll watch that third thing.
It's Jeff Tremaine. You have Jackass, who directed it.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. So it should be pretty good.
All right. Scott, he's having his Awaken 180 meal. He's having his...
How are you?
Hello, Scotty Z.
Hey.
We're
good morning.
Well, good morning.
Happy Monday.
That's right.
Well, Ted Kennedy did, too.
What?
Well, Chappaquiddick.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
I'm sure he never drank after that.
Erd Tangway's in that movie.
He tells everybody, I have to see it.
I have not seen the movie yet. But
it's
I did
like
hear,
Gary's dream.
I heard Gary Tangway was indeed in that film.
I played the bridge.
Do you think they put as much makeup on him in the film as they do when he goes on Early Edition?
Does he have a lot of makeup?
You see him on Early Edition, it's almost like it's like white spackle on his face. And it's just... His face can't move.
He does his own makeup.
No, they don't. Oh, he
really?
Sits in a chair. They have somebody powders him up, boy.
They never gave me makeup when I was over
it's
there.
It's like they took Johnson's baby powder and covered his whole face. Hey, get the man some sun.
All right.
Like, if I was on TV as much as him, I'd live in like a wolf tanning bed. I'd look like George Hamilton.
It would be like Pauly D and Vinny.
Oh, God, I love it. I can't wait. I can't wait for that show to come out.
When does that show come out?
When's that start? I think soon.
In April.
Oh, it's going to be like... That'll be better in the Jersey Shore because, you know, some of the fights with the chicks I thought was so staged. But like, you're going to get everything from these two.
I don't.
It's going to be better.
I don't think that a lot of that stuff on Jersey Shore was.
Well, I mean, yeah, Snooki, and it got a little. It got a little overbearing.
You know what? I'm gonna say something kind of controversial here. I think that those two guys might be the two worst that I would want to make a show out of. Out of the four,
well,
or the four
they're
men.
The two ones that got it together the most.
Right. The situation would be number one.
Well, no, but the situation now is so boring because he doesn't.
He's not allowed drugs. To do anything, right? He's
right,
got to
so
be like totally clean.
They just make him eat a lot.
And Ronnie's a mess.
Well, Ronnie's fantastic.
So I mean,
Ronnie's vacant.
So what you're left with is a responsible DJ who has stuff to lose and Vinny, who was always kind of, to me, he was boring.
See, I think they forced the Vinny Pauly D relationship to give Vinny something to do on the show.
Okay. You know what he is? And it's like this. He's the, remember the Black Eyed Peas, like the Asian kid never sang, but he
yes.
would always dance?
Yeah.
There's always one, and not like the Backstreet Boys. Who's the guy with like the goatee and that? Like he doesn't really sing.
AJ McLean, stop.
One of them, like who's the fat kid that was in NSYNC? Who was the fat kid?
Joey Fatone.
Joey freaking Fatone.
Don't pretend like you don't know his name. Come on.
I do
very
now.
Very talented individual.
It's a refresher.
Angelina.
Backstreet Boys are coming to concert. I'm fired up for that.
Are you going to go?
Oh, hell yes. Well, almost said yes.
Is it at the Garden?
I think so, yeah.
See,
whenever that comes, I am there.
Angelina had sex with
I'll go see them over the Stones. Like, Stones are coming, like, nah.
Well, who wants to see that? Angelina had sex with Vinny.
Yeah.
And apparently Vinny is very gifted in that area.
That's what everybody says.
And then Snooki
like
said.
John Hamm.
Snooki called. I haven't heard John Hamm, but Snooki said.
Hardy told me about John Hamm. One day I went to.
That's a well known.
You start rumor. Googling pictures and you go down a wormhole. They're like, wow. Look at that. Look at him.
It's like John Hamm, Huey Lewis, Burl, Milton Berle.
Milton Berle.
Brady.
Vinny. And she called him. And then Snooki called Angelina Lucy Goosey. She said that meant she was having too much sex. To be able to complete that with Vinny.
I told you, like, one of my early years, we picked up this kid, Aaron Jones, from the Steelers. Wallach, remember Aaron Jones?
Yes,
he's like
I do.
6'7".
Huge.
About 265, just completely cut, looked like Willie.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to hold meetings, you know, for all the guys in the locker room. They'd have stools around as to where you go down to Chinatown, what herbs and liniments to get to look like him.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Hmm. Did you ever hear the audio of Crash in the
Nickname
Patriots locker room?
That's his nickname, mid-calf.
Did you ever? Well, that's
not thigh, calf.
That's not something I'd want.
No.
That's not something I don't think
it's
many
actually
women,
a problem for him. Yeah.
I don't think many women would be too psyched about that.
Yeah, trip.
That'd be funny if you fell in the
field. You got any rich?
I'm a nice man.
I'm saying,
all right.
Yeah, Freddie T on vacay. Here he goes.
Going, Fred?
I'm going to Turks and Caicos.
Oh.
Let's end it with this instead.
It looked like a leather cutting to me.
All right.
Let's say hell yeah.
Everyone enjoy yourselves for the next week. I will be back on Thursday. Next Thursday.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you, guys. Everyone have a great weekend. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.